Find him. Honor him. And I thank the Lord for that. I say it is good to see Betty back with us. She has been out a while at the gathering station and yet and then the problems had arose. But I am thankful that the Lord watched over and she is able to be back with us. I appreciate that so much. Ask if you have your Bibles, turn to the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the first chapter. I'll heal in the verses in the latter part of the chapter. Guide me in my foundation and my start. I only want to read a single phrase, verse 18. The Bible says, "Hail to the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." That is all I read. To raise our foundation and he'll build that as we go. I'm always amazed at the fascination of a child. They are things that can seem so ordinary to us, can capture a child of wonder and fascination. Might be a bug crawling on the ground, or a woolly worm in the grass. Might be a leaf off of a tree, or countless other things. Things that we pay little attention to. A child will often spend a lot of time just looking and amazed at those things. I'm afraid that as we get older, the same loss of wonder happens to us spiritually about the things of God. I'm healing in the brain. That is what there are a lot of empty pews in our churches today. It is the fact that people have lost their salvation, but it is that they have lost the wonder of God's salvation. I believe that that happens with us also in Scripture, especially this time of year. I mean, what can we say about the birth of Christ that hasn't already been said or heard? I think that often as preachers that we find it hard at Christmas time because we get the idea, well, what can I preach on that is something brand new, something that they haven't heard, and cause excitement in the heart. Well, I've heard over the years that it is that we say something new. As a wise man once said, there is nothing new under the sun. But we allow the Holy Spirit to make it fresh in our hearts. But before Alice and I were married, I was preaching a revival meeting. And after the service, I stopped by Hardee's in Taylorsville just to get a little something to eat. And lo and behold, over to the side, sitting here in Hastings, I walked over, started talking, and found out that he also was in the Bible. And I just talked a while, and Brother Buren asked me, well, what's it preach on tonight? I told him, Nanny, I made the statement. I said, well, it is something I had preached before. Preacher Buren got in the maze book, made the statement saying, are you telling me you preached something you had preached before? And it kindly took me back. I said, yeah, I have. But the Holy Spirit made it fresh again. Excuse me. Brother Buren's smile said that's the secret of it all. I've never forgotten that. And I often think about it at this time of year. So I hope what I say today, that the Holy Spirit will make it fresh in our hearts. I want to preach this morning simply about the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us the birth in a lot of different vantage points. We see it from the position of Joseph, from the position of Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, even Herod. But I want to say some things about the birth from the position of Joseph. First of all, I want to notice the scandal surrounding the birth of Jesus. Notice verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It has his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Did Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. 3 days stand out so vividly. First of all, Mary is expecting a child. Second, Joseph knows he isn't the father. Third, Joseph knows that he has to do something about it. We have been anything goes society. People live so fast and loose today. Something like this, a woman unmarried at the time becoming pregnant, isn't so unusual in our day. But in that society, that was a scandalous thing to happen. It was that Mary and Joseph were espoused to one another. Understand marriage in that culture was different than today. In that culture, their marriage started as children. Parents of a boy and the parents of a girl made an arrangement that their children that would they marry. If they would over time engage him, they were still real young, but they are engaged as the time would go. The boy's father, the girl's mother, would sit together and espouse him. A betrothal. That betrothal lasted a year. But during that time, they were called husband and wife. Although they haven't fulfilled the marriage vows, they are committed as a husband and wife. During that engagement, they could at some time decide they don't want to marry. That would be it. But during the betrothal, if an infidelity was found, it would call for public disgrace, and they would give a divorcement to end the betrothal. I remind you, this is all before the wedding. So during that time, Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. They're in the betrothal period, called husband and wife. But the wedding hasn't happened yet. So Joseph realizes all of this is a touchy, serious situation. Scandalous at that time. So it is a hard place for Mary. A hard place for Joseph. They are not fully married. But Joseph realizes if this all comes out, Mary will be disgraced. The wedding will be over by divorcement. So here's the hard problem. Joseph loves Mary. Joseph desired Mary to be his wife, bear his children, raise a family, have a home. So he is trying to figure out how to handle it all. I asked you to put yourself in his shoes. What would you do if that situation, excuse me, if that culture, how would you handle it? What would we do? What would I do? So Joseph lays it all out. Verse 19 then says, Joseph being a just man, realizing what the law says, what God says, Joseph, having compassion, didn't want to make her a perfect example. So he decides quietly just to put her away. Joseph don't want to be hard on Mary. Joseph could have gone to the priest, made a big ordeal, shaved Mary for life. But Joseph, out of love, says, I'll put her away privately. Then secondly today, who does the Spirit's involvement in the birth of Jesus? I am so thankful that God had another plan. I am so thankful that God had it all worked out. Joseph didn't understand it. Joseph didn't know all about it. I want to read those first two verses again. But I'm going to change it a little. There is a phrase that Matthew adds after the fact in writing the gospel that was well known then. But Joseph didn't know it. If Joseph would have been describing the situation, here's how it was for Joseph. Since Joseph, or it says, how the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It has in other Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and unwilling to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. That's the situation as Joseph saw it. That's how he knew it. But thank God an angel shows up. His first hearing, the angel says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived seed in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's how Joseph found out. Twice that phrase is mentioned of the Holy Ghost. That is what Joseph had known. That is what Joseph didn't realize. That the angel fills Joseph in. Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. That child in her is of the Holy Ghost. I wonder, do we really realize how just marvelous that statement is? That is something we have heard all our lives. And I'm afraid we often walk all around it and never let it really sink in. That Jesus was conceived in Mary of the Holy Ghost. Cannot put it in a simple statement. The Holy Spirit ain't the pre-existent second person of the Trinity into a human being. The word that Matthew uses in our English Bible says birth, the birth of Jesus Christ. The word birth in the Greek language actually means Genesis. It is the idea of a beginning. I realize that this isn't the beginning of Jesus Christ. Because John says in the beginning was the Word. But the Holy Spirit calls it the Genesis, beginning of the earthly existence of Jesus Christ. It is that the Holy Ghost of God overshadowed Mary and the eternal Son of God became fearfully and wondrously made a person in her womb. I think about that. The God that created all the world became a child in Mary's womb. They sang it a while ago. Of wonder, of wonders, that God became flesh and was given for us. I think about it, that Mary had God's Son in her womb. God gave him the Holy Spirit, made him there. They gave him bones and a brain and blood, giving lungs and hips and limb toes, gave him a head, a heart, and hands. God became flesh. I say to us, we ought to stand in awe, stand in amazement, stand in wonder that God became flesh. The miracle of miracles, the wonder of wonders, the awesome, mighty, amazing God became a baby in Mary's womb. Joseph didn't know all that. Joseph found out by the angel. So we have seen something about the scandal involved, the spirits involved. But I want to point out the substitute in the birth Jesus. With this information, gotta consider, what did Joseph do with all that? Well, what did Joseph think about it? Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and he were not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Who tells us, Matthew tells us, that Joseph immediately rises up, proceeds to take Mary as his wife, doesn't have relations till after Jesus had been born. I realize that Joseph, the father of Jesus, was only a substitute father. He wasn't the natural father, but a surrogate or a stand-in for Jesus. But what he did was quite amazing. Some would say, well, that really wasn't a big deal. That is what Joseph ought to do. But it doesn't add to the birth of Christ. But it does. I'll tell you why. Notice what the angel said back in 1st 20, about the middle of the verse, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Do you realize, out of all the times in the Gospels, that phrase, Son of David, only one time does it not refer to Jesus. That's right here. Every other time in the Gospels, in the Son of David is found, always refers to Jesus. Except this time, this is the only other one. Why is that important? Because it tells us that Joseph had kingly blood in him. Joseph was of the royal family of David. You say, but his blood had nothing to do with Jesus. But notice how the Holy Spirit pins it. And took unto him his wife. Then verse 25. And he called his name Jesus. What Joseph knew, Joseph about taking Mary as his wife, Joseph named Jesus and paid him the adopted son of Joseph. And they descended of King David. Some may say Joseph's place wasn't that big a deal. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it was. God had a plan. Joseph was minded to put Mary away. But God spoke to him by an angel in a dream, said, take her to be your wife. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph then took her as his wife, and he named his son. That's what a father would do. So Joseph was saying, I adopt you as my son. And that put him right in the royal lineage to be the offspring King David. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? How God put all that together in the birth of Jesus Christ. Some thoughts the Lord put on my heart. As we approach this Christmas season, I like the trees. I really do. I love them. They're so beautiful. I love the lights. I love the time of year. The songs we sing. But I don't ever want to lose the wonder of what it's all about. Don't ever want to lose the awe in my heart of how God put himself in a baby or in a woman's womb, became a baby. Mary gave birth, and just like an infant in her arms, she held him. But it was God in flesh. God in flesh. This same Jesus lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death on the cross of Calvary, so you and I might have life in Him. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. I'd like the ladies to come to the instruments. There may be somebody today that God has spoken to your heart that you would have to say, that's really only been a story to me. But preacher, I see it for what it is. That it's all about a Savior. It's all about Jesus dying on the cross. All about God becoming flesh. Sacrificing Himself that we might have life. And maybe today there is something in your heart that is drawing you toward Him. We're going to stand to our feet and they're going to play on the instruments. If God has touched your heart, this altar is open. And I invite you to come. Let's all stand.